Yeah, Jenna said to me, she's like, what are you going to do without Daryl for 5 weeks? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to sit in my room in the fetal position and cry. That's why God made Skype, right? And Ryan. I'm just kidding, Ryan. You'll be there. Sorry, man. So we are in Matthew still, and we will be in Matthew when the Smiths get back still. So they won't have missed much of anything. But if you remember, when last we left Jesus, he did a little thing like take a couple of loaves of bread and some fish and feed 4,000 people. He had done 5,000 earlier, but, you know, that wasn't big enough. So he went smaller in a different way to feed Gentiles and these miraculous things after healing a whole bunch of people. And we get to verse 1 of chapter 16. Now, have you ever been driving and seen one of those red signs that's in the shape of an octagon? It says Alto on it. If you've ever been in a foreign country, what does that mean? Stop. Yeah. You ever seen an upside down triangle on the road? What does that mean? Yield. Yeah. Not all of you know what that means, but that is what it means. You ever seen one of those yellow signs that has a one line going straight and another line coming into it like this? What does that mean? Merge. Yeah. Again, you people don't understand that. And they finally heard my sermons and had to fix the quarry over there. And now there's two lanes. You're welcome for that, by the way. If you've been here long enough, you know I've done many rants about that. But so there's all these signs that we know in our world. There's all these signs that we see what's happening. These driving signs that we can just see and know. My 3-year-old son knows what the yield sign is. He knows what the stop sign is. He knows what a speed limit sign is just by what they look like and their familiarity. You see these signs and you know. You go around the world and the signs are universal. The sign for exit. Anywhere you go. Except now, I don't know, have you seen the new exit sign in foreign countries? It's a guy doing this. Like there's like a picture of a door and it's a dude that it doesn't say exit anymore. Did y'all not know this? That's, so if you ever seen, it looks like he's in a rush. Like only if you're in a hurry, you exit that way. All the people that are moseying have to go out another door. But there's all these universal signs that you see and you recognize and you understand. This is what this means. It means the same here as it means the same thing somewhere else. In Texas, the stop sign is the same as it is in California or Russia or Costa Rica. It's the same. A sign is a sign. There are other signs that you see something and you may interpret it a little bit differently than someone else. You may see something and not see it as a sign. You may, like, for example, Jenna and I last year celebrated our 10th anniversary and we went to Canada and to Banff. It's a wonderful time away from our children and from heat because our anniversary is in August. And so we go up and do these mountains, these beautiful mountains. And I remember going through this one hike that we go up through this canyon. I can't remember the name of the canyon at the moment, but this river, the snow runoff is coming down. And you get to walk across this bridge, across the water, and into this cave. And in the cave, there's a huge cutout where you come out and a waterfall comes down. And there's like this beautiful pool of water that's just splashing you. And you can stand and look out of this water. The water doesn't come through the cutout. It goes around it. Now, for me, and I mean, for the history, I like to stop and read the signs and that tell you what is going on. But for me, when I see that, I see God's finger. Because it's amazing. The reason that cutout is there is not because someone years ago went, hey, you know what? This would be a cool tourist destination. Let's get some blasting caps and some saws and drills and build something right here. No. Over time, water bore that hole. And it cut through the stone. And it came through. And then over more time, the water cut so deep that it now misses it. And you can stand up there and look down upon where the water is. For me, I see a sign of God working. For me, I walk up there and I see God's hand, mighty hand, moving and shaping the earth that he created. And I'm like, wow, that is awesome. Some people just see that as evolution. I see that as God. There's a sign that you may be familiar with, and it is in the scripture that we have today. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Is that right? Okay, we have a sailor over there. Red sky and morn. Sailor take warn. Right? Anybody ever hear that growing up? Really? The back row. No one in the back, no one behind the third row knows anything about sailing. You people need to get out more. That is a tremendous, I've known that since like ever. That's what Corbin's new favorite word, forever. I've known that forever. I've known that just, and I've always known that. If you see the red sky at night, good. Red sky in the morning, uh-oh, there's going to be some weather. On the show that I watch, The Deadliest Catch, you might be familiar with it on Discovery Channel. They are sailors, crab fishermen by trade. And one of the episodes I recently saw, a hurricane was coming through the Bering Sea. And the sailors were saying, in the morning, they were showing these beautiful pictures of this incredible sunrise. And it's just red as can be. They're like, uh-oh, it's going to get ugly later. And sure enough, here comes this hurricane blowing through the fishing grounds. It's just one of those things, a sign that as you see it, you know what it is. Signs are very important because they tell us something. They give you a sign into what's coming next. The Jews are very into signs. Jews love to get signs from their prophets. Prophets would deliver a message, they're like, that is great, show us a sign. The rabbis would give a teaching. That is a great teaching, Rabbi. Give us a sign. Show us. Tell us through a sign. Signs were a very big deal. On more than one occasion, people came to Jesus and asked him for a sign. If you remember in Matthew chapter 12, Pharisees came and asked him for a sign. Jesus said, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Now we find ourselves in Matthew 16, verse 1. One day the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus' claims by asking him to show them a miraculous sign from heaven. He replied, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather tomorrow. You are good at reading the weather signs in the sky, but you can't read the obvious signs of the times. Only an evil, faithless generation would ask for a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Then Jesus left them and went away. Okay, a quick little bit of background about these groups, Pharisees and Sadducees, and why it's a big deal that they are mentioned together. Because they never would have been together. They didn't like each other. They stood for opposite things. It's like the Republicans and the Democrats, only but much deeper. It was ugly. The Pharisees believed in the oral and scribal law, the very minutest detail of which you had to follow. The Sadducees believed only in the written law. They threw out the oral and the scribal. They went only by the written word of God. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. The Pharisees believed in angels and the resurrection of the body. The Pharisees looked for the coming of the Messiah. Sadducees did not. The Pharisees were okay under whatever political body ruled them. It didn't matter as long as they were able to follow the minutest of their minute laws. Sadducees, like the Romans, wanted to work with the Romans and keep the Romans in power because the Romans were enabling them to keep all of the wealth and power that they currently had. Very opposite groups. The fact that they come together is very significant. If you were a Jew during that time and you see some Pharisee leaders and some Sadducee leaders come together to do something, you stop and you go, whoa, this is a big deal. This is something momentous. If these two groups that do not like each other, do not work together, come together. They come together to face off against Jesus. They come together to test, Matthew says, the words of Jesus, the claims of Jesus. And they do so by asking a very common Jewish question or request. Give us a sign. Jesus says no. You already have your sign. Here's the thing about the problem with them asking. You look for signs. He's already given you signs. His life is the sign. The sign of Jonah was not that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish and spent 3 days there and then spat out onto the shore. If you remember the story of Jonah, he never tells the people of Nineveh about that. When he is spat out onto the shore, he's like, My bad, God. I got it. I'm going to go to Nineveh now. And so he goes to Nineveh and he delivers God's message. Repent. Turn from your ways or you will be destroyed. By the way, I was just swallowed in a big fish. He never says that because that's irrelevant to the message. He is the message. He is the sign. Jesus Christ does not need to say, hey, by the way, a few weeks ago, the disciples were out on the sea and it was a little rocky and I walked on water to them. Bam! He doesn't need to do that. Hey, I've brought people back from the dead. I just fed 4,000 people with only a few loaves of bread. Before that, 5,000, even less food. Blind people, they can see. People can't walk, can walk. Those who can't hear, guess what? You got it, they can hear. He doesn't have to throw his resume down. He doesn't have to talk about all the miraculous things that he's done. One, they would have known about them already. And if you see all those things and you don't get it by now, you're not going to get it. But two, it wasn't the fact that he could do those miraculous things. It was the fact that he was bringing a new message, a message from God. This is the message. I am the message. But that wasn't good enough. They had to test him and ask for a sign when what they needed was faith and belief. Faith that he is God. Faith that he is the message. Faith that his new way of bringing love into the world to conquer evil is the way and the truth and the life. They came at him with an attempt to thwart his godness. Has anybody ever asked for a sign from God? Don't be afraid to raise your hand, because I know you have. I have. I've done it multiple times. Yeah, two hands up, man. Yeah, throw them up. Wave them in the air like you just don't care. Yeah, I mean, seriously, we all from time to time have probably, some of you are like, well, I haven't. Well, you're just great. Most of us are fallen and broken people. And from time to time, we ask God for a little help and direction in our life. We ask God for signs. Now, I will say that asking God for signs is not in and of itself a bad thing. Because if you think about it, God, I have this major, incredible decision in my life, and I need you to help me in this decision. God wants us to live our life for him. God wants us to be on his path. God wants us to do the things he desires us to be, to create in us his glory. And if I leave it on my own, I'm going to get it wrong every single day of the week. So sometimes, God, give me direction. Give me guidance. Show me the way so that I can be in your path. The difference is I'm not like, hey, God, show me a sign that you are who you say you are. I don't think you are. Asking for signs is okay. Getting signs is okay. God gives signs. One of the ways that God speaks to my wife is through redbirds. It is a very clear way. It's happened for most all of her life. When she is in deep prayer about something, when she has landed on the spot God wants her to be, a redbird will come into her field of view. It is a weird thing that those of us in the family know very well about Jenna and the redbirds. When Jenna and I met back in the summer of 99, it was in this room and in this very room. And we met here in this room. Somebody was pointing out this one red-headed teacher to me, because I was a teacher at the time. They're like, hey, what about her? And I went, no, whatever. Not because she was redheaded, just because I saw Jenna behind her and went, what about her? Hubba hubba. And let's meet her. And so they said, no, you're way too sarcastic for her. And she's too nice for you. And they were right. But I pursued her anyway. 8 months later, I got the message from God. He gave me a sign. Not really. But I knew that she was the one. I actually knew very shortly after I met her. But I contrived this whole deal. We're going to have a worship service in the garden chapel. Daryl and Stacy are going to be up there. They're going to sing some songs. My family's driving into town. Her family's going to be here. Our friends are going to be there. I'm going to bring her to the prayer chapel right next door, ask her to marry me, And then we're going to go next door to the Garden Chapel, have a worship service, sing some songs, have them pray over us and celebrate our new life together. That's a gamble, isn't it? 8 months of knowing her, having everybody that we know and love right there in that room next door going, wow, it's been 20 minutes. You think he's trying to convince her? Because that's actually what happened. Not the convincing part, but the length of time. And so it was a gamble because Jenna loved me. Still does, I hope. And kind of knew, but she was really kind of just, you know, she didn't know. She had no idea that this day was that day. And she went that morning to go walk at the McNay, something she did periodically. And she sat down on a bench and was praying, God, if he is the one, I just feel it, but I don't know. She was a little lost. I want to be with you, God, and all this stuff. And poof, Redbird. You know, yeah. But that wasn't enough. She's like, oh, there's a Redbird. Okay, okay. Well, God, you know, she moves on. Poof, another Redbird. Bam, two, what up? 5 Redbirds. God had to send and go, bam, 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 bam. Finally, one just sat on her arm. Not really. But these things that gave her comfort, that she was moving in the spot that God wants her to be in, to be with me. Lucky her. You know, it's not really more lucky me. But God gives us signs. God gives us direction. God will show us the path as we are earnestly seeking to follow him. God, I have a big decision in my life, and I need to know, is this the career I'm supposed to be in? Is this the job that you have for me? Yeah, I'm making a lot of money. I'm successful by the world's standards. We have a great house, whatever, but I feel like you're changing my direction. I feel empty inside. Is this what you desire for me? Show me. Sometimes God sends you a person in your life. Sometimes God sends you something else. God will give you direction and guidance. God will give you a yield sign when you need to yield and a stop sign when you need to stop. God will give you those moments in your life where he is clear to you saying, go or hold back. And sometimes in those really difficult moments in our life when we have this decision to make, God, I've been hanging out with these people for so long, and I know every time I hang out with them, they turn me away from you. If only subtly, is it time that I break my relationship with these people? Asking for God's direction is a faith exercise. Do you believe God who says who he is, who he says he is? Wow. That was much easier to say in my mind. Do you believe that God wants for you the very best? It doesn't always look pretty. It's not always easy to follow in the path of God. It's not easy to end your career and begin a new one because God has called you into a new direction. It wasn't easy for me to go back to school. I didn't like school the first time. And to go down a path that people who went to school with me the first time thought was completely wrong. No way you could be a pastor, Crocker. I knew you in college. I know. But God's calling me down this way. Let's see what happens. It's not always easy to follow the path and the signs of God. It's a faith exercise. Do you believe he is who he says he is?
I do.
Thank you, Alex. Do you believe that God gives you guidance and direction in those dark moments of your life, that the light of Christ will shine forth and give you the path? The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't. They didn't. They didn't believe that he was God. They wanted him to prove, even though they still didn't believe. Jesus Christ says, I am God. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. Let us begin to follow him. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for being our light in a dark world, for giving us guidance and direction. God, we thank you that as we call out to you, you answer back. God, I pray that you would help all of us who are going through difficult decisions, whatever they might be, to have the faith to follow your voice, your leading. Give those of us who are in places right now where we're moving and grooving with you the courage and the strength to help our brothers and sisters in Christ out, to be their support when they need support, to carry them when they need that, to help them to stay back when they need that. Give us all your vision and guidance that we may move into this world, the glorious body of Christ, proclaiming that you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.